Lord Jesus, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit has made our hearts ready to receive Your Word this morning. Father, that Your will would truly be done throughout this service. Father, that You would give me strength as I deliver the message this morning, that our ears would be attentive to hear Your voice, each of us individually. May we examine our lives, examine our walk, repent if there needs to be repentance, and turn to You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Hosea chapter 3. And you guys might say, well, wait a minute, didn't we read that last week? Yes, we did. But I told you last week's message should have probably been two or three part. And I just want to look back over Hosea to jump into this week. If you missed last week, it's okay. You won't be behind. But I kept having these thoughts come to my mind about Hosea and Gomer her being an unfaithful wife. Hosea 3, verse 1, it said, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, 'You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idols. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and His blessings in the last days.'" I was just thinking about with this, about the love that God has for us. Last week we talked about a selfish versus a selfless love, okay? And I just keep thinking about the example set here of this adulterous wife, but God says, "Go and restore her." And I was thinking about for us today, and how many of us really love like that and really examine our lives and say, we are going to be faithful to God no matter what. You know, for many, it seems like if the circumstances are bad, if the circumstances aren't what they think they ought to be, if their prayers aren't answered the way they think they ought to be answered, they're turning their back on God. They're leaving. They're finding somebody else or something else to try and bring them joy, to try and bring them happiness. In John 6:26, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." So what's he talking about there? He's saying that all these people were following him, and he had given them bread and fish to eat, and they'd had their fill, so they weren't really seeking him for the spiritual things. They were seeking him for the physical, because he'd filled up their stomachs. And I wonder how many people today are still chasing after God for just the earthly things and the blessings that He might provide here on earth. And it's easy to follow God when your stomach's full, when you got a bank account full, when you got a great job, when you got a great family, when you got a great life and everything's going, boy, it's easy to follow God. But what when you get that bad news? What about when something doesn't go quite right? What about when you don't get that promotion or you lose your job? Are you still faithful to follow God? If you guys want to go with me back to Exodus, and I'm going to try and do my best to get through this, but I want us to look at the Israelites and not in a judgmental way, but as a reflection of how I believe human nature is, and even our human nature today is still very much this way. Exodus 3, verse 7. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I go, and I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God seen their misery. God seen their suffering. Some of you today, you might be thinking, has God even heard me? Does God even see what's going on in my life? Does God see how terrible things are for me right now? And some of you may be like, well, things are great. Things are perfect. I have no complaints. Well, praise God for that. But some of you might be crying out, and there's probably been more than one time in my life that I've cried out, and I'm like, God, I don't understand what's going on here. Are you even seeing? Are you even there? Are you even hearing my prayers? Have you ever prayed and you felt like they're just bouncing off the walls? And here God's looking down and He's seeing their misery. He's seeing what's going on with them. But Moses said, God, who am I? Who am I that I should go? I wonder how many of us today, God's calling us into something more. And we're saying, but God, who am I? Who am I that I should go? Who am I that you would send me? Last night, my uncle from Michigan was in, and yesterday was his 70th birthday, so we went and had dinner with him. And this is my mom's brother-in-law. So I don't see him very often. I mean, once every 5, 6, 7 years, if that, you know. But he's a very godly man, very good man. All he does now is travel with Samaritan's Purse and goes to places in need and everything. But I was asked to share about our church and the testimony about how God brought me here and what God has done for our church and everything. So I share them with him, and I told him, I said, you know, I'm finally now where I've accepted I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Because for years, I hadn't accepted it. Up here preaching, I was still waiting for God to send someone else. And I said, now I've finally accepted that I'm doing what God's called me to do for Coop Prairie. But for years, I'm saying, who am I, God? And I still say, who am I? I mean, God, I need your help every. But can I tell y'all, I wasn't going to talk about this, but it just seems to be coming out. Some of you need to realize God's calling you for something. And there's opportunity if you're willing. There's always opportunity if you're willing. Jump over to 4:1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? How many of us feel that same way? What if? What if? What if they don't listen? What if they don't think I'm really a man of God? What if they don't really think I'm a woman of God? What if they really don't see that you've called me into this ministry, that you've called me to speak to them, that you've called me, and whatever it is, what if? And I believe that many people today were saying, well, what if? It might be too difficult, so what if? Jump over to verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Excuses, right? Excuses. I'm going to bring this all together with Gomer and Hosea, I promise, okay? But it's excuses, and it's saying, God, who am I? I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good at this. And many of you today, you might be sitting there in the pew saying, who am I? I'm not good. People look at me. We all make excuses, I believe. Many of us are still living in those excuses. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you and speak with you, teach you what to say." That's pretty awesome, isn't it? To know that God's saying, "I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to direct you. I'll give you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Please send someone else." That was me for years here. "Lord, there's smarter people. There's people that can have better stories. There's people better equipped. There's people. Please send someone else." I remember the day that a lady that Jim West brought to church here from Fort Smith come, and I didn't know her and she didn't know me. And she come up to me after service and she told me I was running from God. And that I hadn't gone as far as Jonah yet, but I'm getting close. And I knew exactly what she was talking about because I didn't want to be the preacher here. I went home and I just wept like a baby because I knew I was running from God. Some of you this morning, you might be just like Moses saying, "Who am I?" You might be right now making excuses in your mind saying, "Pete, you don't know. You don't know all I've been through. You don't know how miserable my life's been. You don't know how insignificant I feel. You don't know how I have a learning disability or my speech or whatever." And we're making excuses. "Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you. And his heart will be glad when he sees you." And I have underlined in my Bible there, "He is already on his way to meet you." And I vaguely remember a sermon on that. It was years and years ago that I preached on it. And I didn't go back and really, really seek it out. But I just thought, isn't it amazing how God already can provide? Even before we're making the excuse, God can provide. Have any of y'all ever been in that situation where you didn't want to do something, you didn't know how you was going to handle something, you didn't know what to do, but God's already made a provision? If you'll walk in faith, if you'll follow Him, the provision's there, the provision's ready to go. So Moses goes to Pharaoh, and what happens? Well, Pharaoh gets angry and says, "You guys are lazy, and if you're trying to go out and worship your God," and what's he do? He makes them begin to make their bricks and says, "We're not even going to provide straw for you anymore." And so they're having to go find their straw. And then everybody's getting mad at Moses saying, "What have you done? You're making our lives even more miserable." And then we're going to pick up in chapter 5, verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." So I want you to think about things were getting worse, and Moses is crying out saying, "Lord, why did you do this?" But what does the Lord say? "Now you will see. Now you will see what I'm about to do." Can I tell you, sometimes in life, it gets harder before it gets better. Are you going to remain faithful? Are you going to keep loving the Lord? Are you going to keep seeking the Lord? Are you going to remain faithful? Are you going to turn your back? Are you going to cry? Are you going to wimp out? What are you going to do? Are you going to remain faithful? You think Hosea, buying back a prostitute wife that he'd married and left him and was out with other, and God says, "Buy her back and restore her"? That's the most intimate relationship there can be between the husband and wife, and buy her back? But God, she's been unfaithful. We think life's hard sometimes and we question God. Moses is questioning God, and God says, "Wait and see what I'm about to do." Now let's jump down to verses 9 through 12. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of this country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with flattering lips? I want you to think about that. He's thinking, if the people that you've called me to lead out won't even listen, why is Pharaoh going to listen? And I wonder how many of us in our lives, we say our family doesn't believe in us. Our kids don't believe in us. Our mom and dad don't believe in us. Nobody believes in our ability. So we get discouraged and we heard a story. I wish I could remember stuff better sometimes. I heard a story a couple months ago. I think it was on a sermon. I don't remember exactly, but this guy got his SAT scores. And he had scored, I'm not familiar with SATs, but he'd scored like over a 1,200. Is that possible? He'd scored this incredible score on this SAT. And everybody was shocked, like, how did this student score that high? And so all the teachers took note and was like, wow, do you? And he's like, well, I thought I did okay, but... And the teacher started taking note and started really pouring into this kid. And this kid started believing in himself. And he goes on to be a tremendous success. I can't even remember all that he had accomplished. Before that point, he was just an average to below average student with not much going for him. But after that point of getting that score, his life changed completely. And people started believing in him. And he started believing in himself. Became an enormous success. Years later, he got a letter in the mail that he had received the wrong SAT score and that his original SAT score was like very average or below average. But somebody believing in him and him believing in himself made all the difference. Made all the difference. Here Moses is saying, Lord, the people I'm trying to lead don't even believe in me. How's anybody else going to believe? How's anybody else going to follow? And some of you might be there at that moment in your life and you might be crying out saying, God, I'd sure like to, but nobody believes in me. But when God's on your side and God's given you a vision and God's given you something to do and God's placed a calling in your heart, y'all, I can't explain the callings in your life. Everybody, it's different. From the moment I knelt beside my bed at home and asked God to forgive me of my sins, and the moment that we found this church to come to, God said, serve. I didn't know how. I'd been a Christian for a few months, and I started working with the youth, and I just felt like I was supposed to serve. I didn't even know what I was doing. A lot of the kids knew more than me. I remember Kimberly was teaching me stuff. And I'm supposed to be teaching her. And it's just like, wow, you know, it's amazing. It's not always just a red flashing sign saying, do this. It's just what you feel in your heart and when people believe in you. So anyway, so the plagues come. We know the plagues of blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then finally the firstborn of the children were killed. I'm going to go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 10. Exodus 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there the Egyptians marching after them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. That last song that we sang, I told Charles I was listening to that this morning, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love. They're trying to be led out of captivity. And what do they say? I'd have rather stayed in captivity than face this. I'd rather stayed in captivity. I'm too terrified. Y'all, there's slavery going on today in people's lives that they want to stay in something in a bondage of sin. because it's what they know, because it's what's comfortable. They want to stay in a bondage of not following the Lord wholeheartedly because it's what they know and it's what's comfortable, and they're scared to step out. And here the army's coming against them, and they see this army and they say, we should have just stayed. We shouldn't have come. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance, for the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how awesome it is that we have a God that will fight for us. How awesome it is that we have a God that will see us through those trials, that will see us through those circumstances. And then the Lord said to Moses, what are you crying about? Out to me. Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his armies, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. I always thought that was interesting that he says, be still, and then God says, move on, move on. Sometimes there's times to be still, and sometimes there's times to just get up and start, and get up and start doing what you know you're supposed to do. And God's taking care of them. God's protecting them. And so they're leaving. The army's chasing after them. We all know the story. The sea collapses in on them. And then in 1522. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. This is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. Y'all, I can't express enough. The trials in your life, do you ever look at them as testing? You don't know what something's made of till you test it. You don't know. I remember when I was in Boy Scouts, I was a Boy Scout, and we had this thing called the Boxcar Derby. And you had to, it was a kit, but you had to whittle this little car and put wheels on it. And then they had like gutters set up, and you would set that car in that gutter, and it would race down, and whoever's car went the furthest won, and there was a big trophy. And I wanted to win that so bad. But we had the idea, my parents helped, we drilled holes in the bottom of that wood car and filled it full of quarters and then put wood putty over it to seal it in. Why? To make the car heavier so as it went down that track, it would go further. But I didn't test it. And when I got there, the car barely even rolled. It was horrible. I think I got last place. Because I never tested it to see if it would work. You know? You don't know something, how true and how good it works, until you test it. You don't know your faith and your walk with God, how pure and how good it is, until you test it. They come to this water. They can't drink it. They grumble. They complain. I'm not judging them. If I'd went 3 days in a desert, I'd have probably been more grumbling and complaining than anybody else. I'd have been probably crying, please, somebody give me the water. I'm not judging them, but that's the way, you know, do we trust God or not when we're in the desert, when we're thirsty? He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, if you hadn't heard anything else, I want y'all to hear this, okay? If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right, not bring on you, do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of you the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near water. What did he say? You obey what I command. You listen to my voice, and you're not going to face what those Egyptians just faced. You're not going to face that. And you might say, well, Pete, they're facing trials right now. They're facing hardships right now. And yes, we're going to face trials. We're going to face hardships. But God's not abandoned them. God's not left them. And then God leads them to where there's palm trees and where there's all these springs and there's an abundance. But it's when we trust God, when we don't look unto ourselves and our own abilities. Now I want to jump down to 16:2-4. I'm trying to go fast. It's a lot to read here. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Testing. But they're grumbling and they're complaining. And God says, I'm about to give them something. But they're grumbling and they're complaining. And they're looking back at their old life and saying, oh, remember how great we had it. But when they were in that old life, what was they doing? They was grumbling and complaining. Is it any different today? We grumble and we complain. We grumble, we complain. We want that promotion. We get that promotion and it ain't enough money. It's more hours, more headache. We want that boyfriend. We want that girlfriend. We get that boyfriend. We get that girlfriend. And oh, all at once there's trouble. I got to take care of it. Whatever. We grumble. We complain. We switch jobs. Oh, that boss is a jerk. We switch to another job. Oh, I don't get enough money. So we grumble and we complain and we grumble and we complain. And do we ever stop and just say, God, would you lead me? God, would you show me? And then obey what His voice says. Verse 11 and 12 here, the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. God provided for them abundantly. I'm going to go all the way to Exodus 32. God's provided for them. He's taken them through the desert. And then we all know in chapter 32, but I do want to read a few verses here. When the people saw that Moses was a long time in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us, as this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt. We don't know what has happened to him. They wanted something tangible, something that they could see. Right? They wanted something that they could see. And I think that many people today are still looking for things that they can see. They get these crystals and they get these objects and they think it's going to bring them health and they think it's going to bring them good fortune. And they want things that they can tangibly touch. And we all know that it isn't that way when we serve the Lord. I can't physically touch the Lord. And when I say the Lord speaks to me, it's not an audible voice, but it's just inside my spirit, knowing the Lord's leading me somewhere and it's looking at this word and hearing His voice. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioned with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. How? How can they do that? They saw the fire and the pillar and they saw how God provided for them, but now all at once they're looking at a golden cow going, that's our God? But are we really that much different today in our unfaithfulness? When times get rough, when times get tough, and we look back at our old life just like they had, oh, we sat around big pots of stew, and we didn't have this guilt, and we didn't have this, oh, I wish I could go back. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and had sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people, quick to turn away." Stiff-necked people. How many of you have prayed for something for a long time and it's not been answered and you go, "I'm going to find another way. I'm going to do something else," instead of remaining faithful? We look at Gomer being an unfaithful wife, how she turned away to go after other men. But how many of us, as our hearts turned away because we're a stiff-necked people, because we're not seeing the answer right away, so we compromise. We compromise and we do that thing that we know we shouldn't do. We go with that person that we know we shouldn't go with. We cheat on our taxes, or we cheat here, or we cheat there, or we cheat God out of what's rightfully His, because it's the easy thing to do, we think, to not follow what the book says. And we compromise, and we compromise, and we compromise. And then we say, "Oh God, we love you. Do you really? Are you remaining faithful to His Word? Are you remaining faithful to Him? Even when times are tough, even when things don't make sense, even when your life is falling apart around you, can you say, 'God, I'm going to remain faithful no matter what?'" It seems like it's our nature to turn away quickly when we don't get what we want. Whether it's in marriage and jobs and church and following God, we turn away quickly because we want what we want. He told Hosea to buy back his unfaithful wife. And are we that committed to God? Are we that committed to God to love those around us that are unfaithful, to love even when it seems like it's so difficult and we're so thirsty and we're so hungry, and I'm not talking about even in the physical and the spiritual, we're so thirsty and we're so hungry, and then we begin to chase after other things to fill that void in our life, to meet that need, instead of praying and crying out to God and saying, "I'm going to be faithful no matter what." Exodus 13:17-18. We're almost done. While Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. He didn't take them on the quickest road. He didn't take them on the quickest route. Why? Because he said they might face a battle and then they might turn back. You know, some of you might feel like you're wandering in the desert. You might feel like, "Well, why is this taking so long? Why is this so hard? Why have I not seen the answer to my prayer? Why is God not listening?" And you might be having all these questions in your mind. And have you ever thought that God can't get you there? Because He can't trust you yet. You might turn back if He takes you on the direct path. You might become arrogant. You might become conceited. You might think it's your ability and your might. Sometimes the long way around is God's testing you to see what you're truly made of. Acts 14:19-20-23. Paul has been here and he's been doing miracles. The people are seeing all these miracles and they try to build these altars to Paul and Barnabas, and he's saying, "No, we're just normal everyday guys. Don't build these altars to us." And the people are continuing to try and lift them up and saying the gods are with us. So all this is happening, and then look what happens in verse 19. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Can I tell you something? If you guys start throwing stones at me, I'm leaving and I ain't coming back. I ain't lying. He's being stoned to the point that they thought he was dead. Drug out of the city, and what's he do? He gets back up and goes right back at it. Some of us, because our life plan has not been the American dream we thought it was, we've quit on God. Some of us, because someone said an off word to us or didn't compliment something, we've given up on God. Some of us in our workplaces, that someone was mean to us once or someone told a bad story about us once, so we stopped showing them love. We stopped showing them God's love because I don't like that person. Is this getting through to anybody this morning? Is this making sense? How many of us have become unfaithful to what the Bible calls us to be, the love that we talked about last week, not the selfish, what can you do for me, but the selfless of how can I serve, how can I be a witness for God? Have any of y'all ever been hit with a rock? Oh man, it hurts. One rock will hurt. Mike Berger hit me with a bunch of rocks one time. It was on his four-wheeler, though. He locked up the brake and was just covering me and Hayden with mud. And it was so much fun. But, man, some of them rocks were coming through. They hurt. I can't imagine being stoned to the point that people thought I was dead. Drug out of the city and get back up and go right back at it. Y'all, we need to toughen up today. We need to toughen up and we need to understand, are we going to be a faithful wife to our Lord and Savior? Or are we going to be unfaithful like Gomer was to Hosea? Are we going to chase after this and chase after that? Are we going to be like the Israelites and every time there's a little lack of water, there's a little lack of food, there's a little bit of something coming up? Oh. Let's just go back. Let's just go back to the way things used to be. Let's just go back to that old life. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what heaven's going to be like? That our present suffering, it doesn't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed. It's not even going to compare. When you remain faithful, and what did we read in Exodus? That God told His people, if you'll just remain faithful and do what I command you, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to bring these diseases and these plagues upon you. Just remain faithful and listen to my voice. That doesn't mean that you're not going to face hardships. That doesn't mean that you're not going to face trials. That doesn't mean that your prayers are always going to be answered according to what you pray. But God may be leading you through the desert for testing to show you what's really inside of you and what needs to be inside of you. Last verse here, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I was just thinking, if we drove down to CV's, if we drove down to the dollar store, the gas station, if we drove through town, you'd probably see enough people to fill every church in this area. We've got some people. Y'all remember John and his family. They're traveling to Arizona this week. We got some people out today, but we got room. We got room to grow. Where is everybody? The other churches in the area, they got room to grow. I told y'all 6 months ago I was visiting with somebody from used to be one of the largest churches in Hartford. and they've got like 20 people coming now. They've got room to grow. Narrow is the road. Are you on the narrow road this morning? Because let me tell you something, wide is the road. So if you're doing what your friends, if you're doing what some of your family's doing, if you're doing what social media promotes, if you're doing what the world promotes, you're not on the narrow road. Will we remain faithful, or will we be an adulterous people today? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray for strength in my life. And I pray for strength in each and every one of our lives, Lord, that as we live each and every day and we face struggles and we face hardships, Lord, that we would remain faithful unto you. Father, that we would understand that sometimes we're going to go through trials, that sometimes we're going to go through struggles, and that it's just a time of testing, and that we might be found genuine and pure, that someday that when we stand before you, you will look upon us and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Father, if there's any here this morning that's truly struggling, that truly feel alone, that feel like you've abandoned them, may love pour upon them right now. May your Holy Spirit fill them, and may they know that you are there with them. And sometimes we need to just be still, and other times we need to get up and get moving. And may we look upon our lives and see, are we answering the call that you've called upon everyone that is a believer, that you have a task, that you have a duty for us. Lord, may we remain faithful through all of our trials, through all of our struggles, through all of our good times. May we remain faithful unto you. Lord, thank you for giving me strength this morning to preach. And may your will be done now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way, he will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way, he will make a way.
Next Sunday night, we're going to have a service, and hopefully by next Sunday morning, I can give you all some more information on it, but I feel like right now that there's more. I just feel like we've been in a holding pattern. So you guys be praying. I don't know what kind of service we're going to have next Sunday night. If it's going to be just praying, if it's going to be more of a talking. But I feel like it's time to move forward with some things. And so we'll see how the Lord leads. And so if you guys can make plans to be here next Sunday night, Wednesday night men's meeting. Y'all don't forget about the men's meeting on Wednesday night. We've been having just a fantastic time in there, just hanging out and talking and studying the Word together. And so we start that at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. If anybody would like to come, you're more than welcome. And you guys have a fantastic week. Follow the Lord.